Today on Real Radio.
Money can be an idol. Money's not evil. It's the love of money, says the Bible, that's evil. What do we do with it? Matters. It speaks a lot.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in chapter 16 and looking at the first 14 verses, which contains the explanation by Messiah himself that man cannot serve money and God at the same time. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called What's in Your Wallet?
What's in your wallet matters, because someday there'll be a day of accounting, because we've all been given a talent. A talent. And I'm not talking about chewing gum and playing the piano at the same time. That's not the talent he's talking about. He's talking about an opportunity. God gives each and every one of us opportunity. Verse 2 says, to give an account for your stewardship, for you can no longer be my steward. That there's going to be a day of accounting. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, you know it pretty well. I'll paraphrase it. Jot the reference down. Jesus tells us about a day that's coming when a man in his parable says, here is $5 to invest, and here over here is $10 to invest, and I'll give you $1 to invest, and I'm going to go away on a far journey, and when I come back, there'll be a day of reckoning. And so he left. Jesus said the man went away into a far country and was gone for a long time. You can kind of see the picture about it being that of Christ. He left 2,000 years ago, and he's left us all here to do what he's called us to do. And then the Bible tells us, Jesus says it, that at the end, when he comes back, there'll be a day of reckoning. And so he asked these. He says, okay, you who had five, what did you do with the five opportunities I gave you? And he said, Master, I took that five, and I invested it, and I made five more. Here's the 10 that I made you, Master. And Jesus said, that master will turn and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little, and now look, I've given you more. Then he's going to turn to the one that had four. And he said, what did you do with it? He said, I took it and I invested it and I doubled it. And Jesus says, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in little, and now I'll make you faithful in more. And then he turns to the man who had one. This man played it absolutely cautious, but he was a fool. He took his life and all that he had in this life. If you reduce it down to just one thing, Jesus said, the master will ask him, what did you do with the life I gave you? And he said, I know that you're a very, very stern and a hard man. That's interesting. He didn't say that about himself, did he? He didn't say that. This man assumed that he was very stern, very hard, very difficult. And so in his terror, in his fear, he said, I took what you gave me and I buried it in the ground. And here, let me dig it up and I'll give it back to you. Here's the one thing you gave me. I give that one thing back. And Jesus said, you wicked servant. The master will say to that man, you wicked servant, you didn't invest what I gave you. You squandered it. You sat on it. You buried it. He calls for the angels. Take what this man has, give it to him who's got more for being faithful, and take this man away from me. And some have likened that parable to the fact that every one of us in this room, or every one of us who are listening right now, God has given you life. You're breathing, aren't you? And right now, while you have the opportunity, you are to be investing your life for Christ. What are you doing with your life? I did a funeral right here last night for a man. He was ready to meet Jesus. I mean, that man was ready. But if you went to a local theater, and during the theater, you know how they show the leaders, or whatever you call them, what do you call those things before the movie begins? Trailers, leaders, previews. being shown, if they were offensive or if anything went south, Tony, he is just like a child, but Tony would get up, such a humble guy. He'd get up, he'd walk down. You'd think he's going to go get popcorn. He would go down and he'd go to the front of the stage of everybody in the theater and he'd say, "Hey, Jesus died for your sins. He loves you so much. Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and you can trust Christ too." Have you ever been to a movie where they're showing stupid previews and you're wondering, this is a waste of time? Tony saw it as a moment. It looks like a waste of time. Might as well seize the moment and give him Christ in the theater. We all should be like that. "Well, people are going to think I'm a fool." They already think we're fools. Why keep them guessing? Let them know it. We're full for Christ. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, for the days are evil. Your life. You say, "Pastor, I'm not like you and I'm not like that guy." And I don't, listen, as we get into this message more and more, do you have a nickel? Do you have a quarter? Do you have a dollar? God wants you to use it for him. Do you have feet? Do you have a car? Can you pick somebody up and drop them off somewhere? Whatever it is God has given us, it belongs to him. It's not ours. We have fooled ourselves. See this shirt? God's shirt. He can take it anytime he wants. Hey, look, I know this personally. When I was 19 years old, I was making more money than my dad. And I was a Christian at the time. And I remember walking into Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, looking around, and they had passed the plate, and I'd let it go right by. Because you know what? I look at this place. It must be loaded. They got so much money, they don't need my money. You know what? I was such an absolute bonehead idolater because I was worshiping money. And when you get money like that, I don't know how cheap you are, but I'm cheap. And I like to see the bottom line grow. Look at it. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. You turn into a freak. Money can do that to people. And then God says, "Hey, Jack, I love you." And I couldn't hear him. I had money. And the Lord, Jack, shh, I'm counting money. Do you know what the Lord did? Took it all away. Yeah, I could almost hear him say, "Jack, it's so nice to hear from you again." Money can be an idol. Money's not evil. It's the love of money, says the Bible, that's evil. What do we do with it? Matters. It speaks a lot. Second point, verses 3-7 is this. What's in your wallet will someday repay you. Did you know that? This is fun. I love this part. What you and I have in our wallets will someday repay us. And you're saying, what? How? Huh? Yeah, this way. It's so cool. As a Christian, none of us should look at money as dollars or dollars as money. In this church, and I thank God I do not have jurisdiction over any other church, everything that we do in this church, we, from the very beginning, because God took it all away from me in the very beginning, we will not look at dollars as money or money as dollars. Do you know what they are? If you open your wallet right now and you have what looks like to you $10 in there, it's not $10. It's 10 tools. Because we're Christians. We've been called to build the kingdom of God. It's the tools. If you keep looking at money in the way of tools, you'll never get goofy about it. You won't get strange about it. How many tools do we have to send missionaries to the world? How many tools do we have to pay the light bill? How many tools do we have? See, you start talking about money and dollars and people can't handle it. They get weird. Imagine this morning, we think, "Well, Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about this right now." Yeah, you know what? You have no problem going to Vegas and talking about money. Think about how much is being offered to the gods and the idols of Vegas right now. I remember driving by Vegas. My dad would never. We'd go up to South Dakota, where my dad was from. We'd go get gasoline and eat in Vegas, because back in those days, in 1860, you could buy... you could get a prime rib dinner for $1.99 and fill up your tank for 25 cents a gallon. My dad used to own a gas station. I remember those days. He would not spend money there. My dad was not a Christian, but he would say, "Jack, you see all those lights on in that city?" "Yep." "All the losers pay the light bill." Think about it. It's true. All the losers pay the light bill. That stuck with me since I was a kid. You think all the people at the altar of those one-armed bandits. And if it's not a one-armed bandit, they're just pulling money out and throwing it onto a table. Take it, take it, take it. Take, watch, take my money, take it. Here, I'll write the note to my house. Take my house, you can have it all. You silly fool, it wasn't yours to give away. It belonged to God. It's all his money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we walk around and say, well, you know, I got, you don't know who you're talking to, do you? I got 20 bucks in my pocket. You ought to be nice to me. Hey, listen, it's God's 20 bucks that he put in your pocket. You should be on your knees thanking God for it. Man, can you imagine? I tell you what, we could have gone to Wall Street this week and set up a pulpit on Broad and Wall Streets and preached the gospel. There probably could have been an absolute crusade there this week with all that happened in America. Well, I've been telling you for years, it's going down, man. Trust in God. It's all his. Someday what you and I have will repay. It's going to pay one way or the other. Look at verse 3. We're required to be current regarding what God has for us. This steward says in himself, he says to himself, man, what am I going to do? My master's taking away my job. And this is kind of, it's kind of cute, funny, sad at the same time. He says, I cannot dig. The word here, cannot dig, it's the word soft. I'm too soft to dig. My hands, I got hands like Jack. I mean, he's obviously a desk jockey guy. I shook hands with a guy the other day. His hands hurt me when I shook hands with him. He didn't squeeze my hands. His hands hurt. I thought he had like needles in his hands. I looked at him and he goes, I make horseshoes for horses. I shoe horses. The guy's hands were like razor blades. And he's holding my little wimpy hand. What do you do? Play with cotton balls? I mean, it's like... This man, that's the word. This guy says, man, I'm too soft to dig. I can't dig. I'm a wimp. And I'm too proud to go begging to people. That's what the guy says. What am I going to do? The guy gets a thought. And it's amazing because Jesus, though he doesn't condone the man's evilness, Jesus commands the guy's resourcefulness in his head. Jesus is saying Christians need to be thinking. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, don't be deceived. Don't trick yourself. God's not made fun of. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, death, destruction. You're going to live for yourself, you're going to die. You're going to do what you want to do, it's going to end up nothing. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. That's an amazing thing. Just because somebody has money, by the way, doesn't mean they're good or they're evil. Do you understand that? It means they are incredibly responsible for a lot. I tell you, I was so convicted this week preparing for this message because I have always said, man, I wouldn't want to be Bill Gates. He's going to have to stand before God. He's got billions of dollars. And the Lord said, you're going to stand before me to give an account for hundreds of dollars. The book of Romans says, before God, every man will stand or fall before the Lord. So we better be careful if we think, oh man, I got to have money and it's my money and don't touch my money. It's an idol. Jesus said in Luke 6:24, woe to you who are rich, who have received your consolation. In other words, these were rich people who cared less about those that are hurting. Oh, they're a bunch of bums. Let them starve. God blesses the Christian so the Christian who's blessed can turn around and bless other people. I think, listen, look, I have to qualify this. I am not a word faith person. I despise that doctrine. I'm not a blab it and grab it kind of guy. I don't believe in that crazy doctrine. God wants you rich. I think that's a demonic doctrine. But I will tell you this. If Christians would see the truth that whatever they have belongs to God, I think God just might give more Christians more, knowing they're not going to worship it, but use it to the glory of God. Why do all the weirdos have all the money? Think about it. I've always wondered, I've always said to my wife, you know, Hugh Hefner, the Playboy man, I don't care. that's the whole girl thing. That's never flipped me out. I've always wondered, this guy became a billionaire on exploitation. What does he do with his money? To have a guy that evil have that kind of money. I've always wanted to say, God, what are you doing? But you know what? Do you realize that that man will answer someday to God for that? And you say, yeah, boys, you're going to get it. Wow! But wait a minute. If I've got 10 bucks and I'm walking down the street and somebody, oh, what's the matter? Oh, man, I'm really hungry and I lost my job. And oh, dude, that's a bummer. Hey, I'll pray for you. You know what? That's equally as bad as Hugh Hefner. The Bible says if you and I have the power to do good, to do it. Yeah, but what if, but then I won't have 10 bucks. Guess what? If you give it out, God's going to give it to you, so you give it out again. He says so. Okay, also this. Listen, what's in your wallet will someday repay you this way, prophetically. Prophetically. He says, I've resolved what to do. I am going to do this. When I'm put out of my job, my stewardship, they, the people who owe my boss, they will receive me into their houses. I've got a plan. Now, granted, it is a pretty bizarre plan, and the explanation, though, will quite surprise you, I think. But the man is looking ahead to make sure that he's okay. This is something that Western Christians fail at miserably. You and I as believers need to be looking ahead prophetically. For example, when you and I die, how will we keep investing in Christian ministry? You say, Pastor, hello. You said, when we're dead, that's exactly what I said. When you and I die, we're not taking what we have with us. Can you imagine? Gabriel, Michael, you two archangels there, can you pick that stuff up and take it with me? It ain't going. It's not going. So what are you going to do with it? Put it to use for the kingdom of God. You can't take it, but you can send up the dividends to the throne room of heaven. Use it to the glory of God. People have wills. People have trust. People have their life written out should they die. Where's God in it? God better be in it, you know. Think about it. Very important. Think prophetically about what you and I have. Are you going to get a paycheck next week? I tell you, my wife, Lisa, was born and raised tithing when she was a little kid. I didn't grow up in a Christian church. So when her and I met, I was going to Calvary Chapel for a year and a half. And then I met her, took her to church. And the plate, remember I told you about my previous attitude? Oh man, this place is loaded. They don't need my money. Because I need my money. The plate went by. This must have been our second date. Because our first date was a Monday night with Greg Laurie. Second date was Sunday. The plate goes by. She's just, I think, 19 years old. 18 or 19 years old. We got married young, man. And she goes, what are you doing? I go, what do you mean what I'm doing? She goes, you didn't put anything in the offering when it went by. I'm serious. You can ask her after service. And I said, look at this place. And she said, oh, man, you don't get it. You don't get it. And we had a come to Jesus meeting. And she won. She won. Listen, teach your kids to tithe. Teach your kids from the beginning it all belongs to God. When that plate goes by, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, like Mark Twain, he said he went to a church one time. The church was so rotten, the service was so boring, that they passed the plate at the end of the service. Mark Twain took money out of it because he said it was such a horrible service. Don't do that. But listen, non-believer, let the plate go by. Believer, you should give to God that which is in your heart to give. If it's a dollar, give it with a smile on your face. If it's $1 million, give it with a smile on your face. It's going to God. Do it with the right heart. You say, Pastor, what if I gave my money to some televangelist and he squandered it and blew it on his private $43 million jet? And he flies all over the world and I could keep going and I could tell you who it is, but I'm not going to. God will bless you and God will take care of him. Okay? Don't worry about that part. But you give to God with a joyful heart about it. Think prophetically, though. Listen to this. Very serious. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given back to you, God says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will it be put back into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I love that. Here comes the plate. Here, give. Put a nickel in there. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. That's what the Bible says. Here it comes. You know what's tough about that? If you can't put the dollar in there, there it goes. Okay, listen. It indicates where your heart is. Jesus said, God or money, God or money. Isn't it? He didn't say God or bananas, God or bananas. He didn't say God or houses, God or houses. He didn't say God or food, God or food. He said God or money. And is that not true? Throughout all the millennia of man's existence, is it not true that money's the issue? God or money, God or money. Isn't it funny? Isn't it amazing? By the way, I heard something this week, freaked me out. The way the nation's going possibly depends on the election. You think, are you afraid of tithing? Just wait. If this election goes a certain way, you're going to be tithing to the little g, the little government. Because listen, you will either give to God and God will bless you, or you'll give to the little God and it will take, and you'll get nothing back. Okay? Very, very important. Watch out. Because wherever we have our loyalties is where our money's going to go. Jesus said it's a matter of the heart, didn't he? Listen to this. Malachi 3:8. I'm going as fast as I can. Malachi 3:8. Listen, mark it down. Wow. Well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, God? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this entire nation has robbed me, says the Lord. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse of God, the house of worship, that there may be food in my storehouse. And listen to this. Test me now in this thing, says the Lord. It's the only thing God says in the Bible. Test me. Give to me. Watch what happens. You see, Pastor, I can't afford to give to God. Hey, let me tell you, I can't afford not to give to God. Because when I say, thank you for everything you give me, God, and you ain't getting none of it back, God says, well, you know what? All right, go ahead and be like that. Things are getting pretty tight up here in heaven, too. What if he sent you that note? Things are pretty tight up here. Prepare yourself, for I can only give you 62% of the oxygen that I gave you last week.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called What's in Your Wallet? It's a look at the first 14 verses of Luke chapter 16 that deals with the issue of money and how believers need to view it as well as handle it. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, we'd like to remind you that, speaking of which, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is supported by its listeners. All donations are tax deductible, as we are a nonprofit. We simply want to get the word out. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio, there's more than one way to do so. You can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. It's also easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.